And I'll welcome our guest speaker, John Brown. He's a director at Seneca Gospel Mission and has graciously agreed to be here in our absence of our pastor. Can I pray for you this morning? Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you, God, for John and his wife. Thank you for who they are in the south side of Buffalo and what they endeavor to be for you. Bless the ministry at Seneca Gospel Mission and even beyond that, all the things that John has been able to be involved in and how you've led him to just be involved in the city of Buffalo. Thank you for his ministry, your ministry through him. Bless him this morning. Thank you for what you've put in his heart to share with us. Give us ears to hear. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been a couple years since I've been here last, but it's great to be back and to visit with you all. The presence of God is a powerful thing. And I'd like to share first about the ministry of Seneca Gospel Mission and how we have been changing and shaping in a way to influence our neighbors for Christ in a new way. My slides will be up on the screen momentarily. I've been working with Seneca Gospel Mission over half my life now, actually. When I was 17 years old, I came as a teenager to a Sunday afternoon Sunday school program in the South Buffalo area as part of my church youth group, and they asked me to teach a memory verse. And I got up there all skittery and tense, and I don't know what to do, but they encouraged me to use my gifts for the Lord. And over time, the Lord continued to put me in situations to test me, to strengthen me, and to guide me into the ministry. And I've been blessed to be part of Seneca Gospel for so many years, but more blessed to be part of God's work in the city of Buffalo as a whole as well. So Seneca Gospel Mission, we're doing business as Promise Valley now. We were confused many times with the Seneca Nation and the city mission. So to avoid all those meandering questions and to launch a new focus, about 2 years ago, we kind of pushed the Promise Valley Project out and kind of started using that name in our neighborhood. Promise Valley is all about bringing the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Valley neighborhood, Seneca Babcock neighborhood, and all the other micro neighborhoods in South Buffalo, wherever the Lord will lead us. We want to be an abiding, life-giving presence for Jesus Christ in South Buffalo. And you can go to the next slide there. Being people transformed by our own life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, we promise, as equipped by the Holy Spirit, to abide alongside and be present throughout the lives of our neighbors, loving in word and deed, doing good for the glory of God, and teaching disciples of Christ to observe all that he has commanded. That's our promise as missionaries to the city that we live in. Myself, I am the resident or former resident director. I lived there for about 3 years. Now I'm just the executive director. Cut one part of my title out and pastor. I got married almost a year ago. About 2 weeks from now, it'll be a year to my wife, Michaela, or Kayla for short. And she's visiting family in Liverpool this weekend, so she sends her regrets. And she would like to have been here, but we had other plans. But when an opportunity to share the ministry comes up, I kind of jump on that. So I'll be meeting up with her later on Monday. Also on our staff recently, we hired about a year ago, Aaron Belleville, a friend of mine who is really into urban farming. Why urban farming? I'm going to share that in a little bit. Aaron is our farmer. He's our farm manager, and Carissa, his wife, and they are expecting a child this coming fall. So what is Promise Valley Seneca Gospel Mission all about? We are, in a sense of the word, an arm, a leg, a hand of the church throughout Western New York. We want people to come into the city to abide alongside, live alongside people in our neighborhoods. We want to ask Christians to be the presence of God in the neighborhoods. We want to give life. We want to not only just preach the gospel, we want to live out the gospel. And there are some severe needs in our communities, such as lack of good food access. It's a food desert in Seneca, Babcock, and the Valley neighborhoods. Transportation is limited. Grocery store access is limited. Therefore, convenience stores and convenience foods are the only source of nutrition for some folks. So we want to create a local farm there, a very physical, visible, good for the community. And we also want to be present throughout the lives of our neighbors. I hope the Lord leaves me in Buffalo for the rest of my life. I want to grow up with the kids I've been growing up with. As a teenager, I was running around with the 2 and 3 year olds. Now they're teenagers, and some of them actually have kids now themselves. So it's a crazy walk with them, going through the ups and downs of life. So some things I can ask you to pray for is pray for our staff. As I continue on with this ministry as the executive director, I'm putting into a lot of situations where I have to ask people for money and do all this schmoozing and meeting people, which I'm not very good at. I like hands-on work and being behind the scenes. So pray for me as I learn what it means to lead and to also train up new disciples in Christ to lead. Pray for Aaron, our farm manager, as he works hard part-time as our farm manager and also balances another job and has a lot on his plate in physical labor, but he's also being trained up in the spiritual labor as well, joining me in ministry with children with another ministry down the street called the Steps Ministry. We do their Jesus and Me Club. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Pray for a resident director. We'd like to hire someone to live on property again. Since I moved out after I got married, we started renovating the entire complex. We tore out all the walls. We made a mess of the place, literally. And we're putting it back together to make it nice for people to live in and serve through a new ministry center with a commercial kitchen to process food and to teach food education and to continue to serve the neighborhood in unique ways. Pray for interns. We like short-term missionaries to come down, serve for 3 months to a year to 3 years. We have 4 bedrooms there on property. We're looking to line up interns to come and get urban ministry experience with us. Also pray for coordinators for our renovation. We need hands-on help to do plumbing, electric, drywall, carpentry, all this little stuff that I'm not too good at. I've just had general knowledge helping my dad fix up apartments. Now I need to rely on others, brothers and sisters in Christ, to continue to build this work literally. We just appreciate so much the multiple churches that have poured into this ministry since the 1930s, as it started by 3 Christian businessmen with a burden of the Lord to minister to the kids of that neighborhood on Seneca Street. And then they moved to Elk Street now, where our current building is. So pray for the ways the gospel gets out. We stopped doing things as we used to do them. We used to run our own children's programs, run our own youth group, run our own little food pantries and clothing giveaways. But I found that we were distant from the neighborhood. We were in a remote part of the city called the country, literally, by the neighbors. And it's just vast, empty lots of industry that once was there. And I saw that the need was outside of us. We don't want to bring people in. We want to send people out to bring the gospel into neighborhoods. So I've begun partnering our ministry staff and ministry volunteers with other ministries throughout the city as we network. We work with the Steps Ministry doing their Jesus and Me Club on Fridays after school. It's a children's club that's focused on getting the gospel in the hearts of young children. I continue to do mentoring with teenagers that I've grown up with in this ministry. A couple recently had a child of their own. They're 15 and 14, and it's a whole new experience for them. And they come both from families that have missing parents, some due to death, some due to separation. So there's this complex network of dysfunction that I'm blessed to walk through with them. It's such a privilege to be the gospel right there with the kids. Sorry. So pray for the basketball ministry that kind of recruits the youth of the the neighborhoods to play basketball, which they love to do. They're all about basketball, football, whatever in South Buffalo. And we preach the gospel through Kaz Church's youth basketball league. And also pray for our farm. This is the second year we're doing a farm, and we are selling food at low cost to the neighbors. We call these farm shares. They're about a bushel each. Usually people buy a half bushel. A full bushel can feed a family of four for a week of vegetables for various meals. And we have enough produce that's going to produce this season for 12 families to be blessed with food. And we're also asking churches outside the area to help reduce the cost, to be part of the neighbor share, and other neighbors in the neighborhood, they can pay down the cost of the CSA, or the model, where the share is $400 a season for 22 weeks, about 20 bucks a week. If some families can't afford that, some can. So we're going door to door now, asking who needs what, and testing out this new type of ministry to be in the homes and teaching people how to eat good food and also make that connection physically with them. Also pray for the promotion of our vision as a ministry. We're continuing to operate on our budget of $55,000 a year. I currently don't take a salary from the ministry. I work full-time in another nonprofit. It keeps me busy. I work with computers and children. It's called Computers for Children. But don't ask me for tech help. I don't do outside jobs anymore. All right. pray for our outreaches this summer, particularly with the farm. We connected with a group called the Farmer Pirates, and they have a bike tour coming up on June 25th. We're one of the stops now of urban farms across the city. Everyone gets on a bicycle and rides around all the farms. So we're one of the stops now. They also want to run a country fair in the city in August with us, so pray for that. They're not a Christian group, so it's something unique that we're a Christian farm, specifically trying to bring the gospel with food. And they're just a bunch of people who like urban farming. I also pray for an event in July. We're trying to plan worship at the farm to get a big prayer meeting and worship gathering there on our site so people can come and see and pray right with us there for our neighborhoods. Pray for volunteers and supporters to continue the ministry. Also, our property is continuing renovation. We actually finished our fence yesterday. We put up a deer fence. We do have deer down in the city there. And groundhogs now that are becoming a pest. So we put up the fence around the perimeter, about 430 feet yesterday. Aaron, myself, and Aaron's dad, Brad, and we got it all done. So that's checked off the list. We had money raised by a church last summer from a vacation Bible school, and that was a real big help to get that fence up around the perimeter. Pray for our ongoing ministry center renovation, the kitchen, and I'd like to get a truck sometime in the future to help haul compost, dirt, all this other stuff. Right now we use an old 15-passenger van with the seats taken out and just chuck everything in and out of that. So it's getting rusty and falling apart. So here's some pictures to actually see the ministry. Here's Jam Club. This is Ben Tagg. He's a missionary from the UK. He lives and he's now a naturalized citizen. He came 10 years ago to serve South Buffalo. I work closely with him in the children's ministry at Steps Ministries. He's teaching the kids and goofing off with them here. And I also take kids out to DQ randomly, like in the middle of April when it first opened. They're like, can we go hang out somewhere? I was like, where? Like, let's go get ice cream. I'm like, it's freezing cold out. Well, we did it anyways. We sat in our car and talked and ate ice cream. Good times. Here's some pictures of some of the work we did building cold frames. And you can see on the outskirts, that's our ministry center. It's gutted right now, empty walls. And we're getting ready to do some other work there soon. And the next photo, you see some more of the kids. As churches are able, they provide different things. I don't usually solicit things from churches, but they say, do you need this, and can you get it to somebody? And I was like, I'll find a way. So I had a church deliver a bunch of fleece blankets that were handmade by a confirmation class. And then I had another church knit a bunch of mittens and hats, and they dropped them off. So I bring them to different places around the neighborhood that need that stuff. If a church wants to help in some specific way, I try to find a good fit in the city down there in South Buffalo. And there's some kids goofing off playing pool at Jam Club up there. So thank you for taking the time to listen about the ministry. I'd like to open up the Word of God now from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And if you have more questions about Promise Valley, a.k.a. Seneca Gospel Mission, or is it formerly known as Seneca Gospel Mission, please see me after the service, or you can email me, john@promisevalley.org, or give me a call at 716-822-5631. So that's it for the promotional announcement for the ministry, all right? So as we open our Bibles together to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, I'd like to take a moment to ask for the Lord to move our hearts today, to consider for yourself the condition of your heart and your life right now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the ability to serve you in the city. I thank you so much for these people here in Alden serving you and bringing you glory in the unique ways that you've placed them throughout this community, Lord. So, Lord, today you've brought us all together in this place, in your presence, and under the teaching of your word. So, Lord, as we hear your word, may you move us to think more about you and more about those around us as well, Lord, and how the gospel message that has transformed each and every one of us, Lord, can transform the lives of those around us. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today's sermon I've titled The Good Life. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 8. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it, and some fell into good soil, and grew, and yielded a hundredfold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So this term, the good life, was first brought to our Western knowledge base by Aristotle. He was a philosopher of old who termed in a short summary of some of his confusing words sometimes, that a good life is one that lives up to certain standards or morals. And if someone lives up to these morals, they can be man, woman, adult, or child, then that is a good life. And since then, and in our modern days, the good life has transformed. Some seek a good life seeking fame, power, riches. If you scroll up your Facebook feed, people show their photos of their good life. But the good life, I would propose, doesn't come in from a thought of man or what the results of happening in our life, pursuing certain things. But let's define a good life, beginning with the source of life, God himself. So here in this parable, in Luke chapter 8, we see the good life beginning with the Word of God. Life does not come from ourselves. Life is a gift. Life comes from the Word of God. In Genesis, we see life created by the Word of God. In our times, we see a new life beginning in people's hearts through the gospel, the good news, the Word of God. So, the seeds that are sown in this parable are God's Word, as Jesus explained. We need to hear it and follow it. It needs to be a form of active obedience. You see, hearing the Word is not simply a passive type of living. You don't sit in church, hear God's Word, and you're changed by it. No, let's look at three other passages and see how this hearing, this active type of hearing, this active obedience is described. Later on in Luke 8:18, it says, "Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." So Jesus here is showing that there's a type of hearing that a person assumes they've heard and have a lot of something, like knowledge. But that type of hearing is not what he's talking about. There's a different type of hearing. If you hear in this way, you have it, you catch it, you hold on to it, and you hear again, the more will be given to you. And for the one who didn't catch it, who didn't hear it in this special way, this active way, that what they have previously heard will be taken away. Later on in Luke 8, in verse 21, let's look at this type of active obedience. Jesus is yelled at in a crowd. And verse 21 says, "But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" They're yelling, "Blessed are those who are your physical family." But Jesus counterproposes that shout and says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God, are part of my spiritual family by hearing the word of God and do it." And lastly, let's look at James chapter 1, verse 25. In James, we see a picture here of someone who approaches a mirror, notices something wrong with their face, but does nothing to change it. Maybe their hair is out of place, or they have a smudge of makeup. But they approach this mirror and walk away unchanged. In James 1:25, it says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So the type of hearing of God's word is not the passive kind. It is the active kind, the one of active obedience, hearing God's word and immediately doing it. This is the beginning of a good life. The word of God being heard and obeyed and chased after. So how does the good life flourish? The good life flourishes in an honest and good heart. You see, the soil here, the good soil, grabs onto that source of life, that word of God, that seed, and holds onto it. It flourishes in an honest and good heart. It requires an active discernment. The type of thing you hold onto is not passive either. You have to choose what you put into your hands in the morning to brush your teeth. Are you going to grab something by accident and put it in your mouth? Don't do that. You have to actively discern this and that and use it. So the honest and good heart, what does this look like? It means to hold fast, actively holding on to something. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Apostle Paul encourages us, this church in Thessalonica, by saying this, "But test everything. Hold fast to what is good." When you hear something, you just don't accept it as true. You need to test it. You need to discern and discern whether it is good or not. In Romans 12:9, the Roman church is encouraged to let their love be genuine and to abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. So this type of active discernment, the soil that holds on to the good life, must not only hold on to what is good, it must get rid of or abhor, keep away what is evil. Let's look a little deeper at what the words mean in the honest and good heart. Looking back to the original languages here, honest comes out to the Greek word kalos, kind of also means pure, genuine, or sincere. Here are two other cross-references in Luke to kind of picture this type of honest or good. You can translate it when you're reading it in some versions, good heart, just depending on the connotation. It says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, we put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So that good measure is a genuine, pure, sincere, right measure. And in Luke 14, it says salt is good or pure. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? So this purity of heart, this goodness of heart, this honestness of heart is that first word. And secondly, this second good or is upright or excellent in the Greek agathos. And here is two other references by the same author. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So Jesus is making a comparison here. This uprightness is excellence. So someone's asking him a question. So like, why do you call me good teacher? Isn't God the only one that's good, upright, excellent? So he's kind of posing a question to this one person and using this word to show the excellence and uprightness of God. And there's also a man in Luke 23, Joseph of Arimathea, who is called a good and righteous man. He was a member of the council there, in verse 50, a good and righteous man. He's upright and excellent. He did the right thing. So, in order for life to flourish, a good life to flourish in your heart, you need to hold on to God's word. Hold on to his life, and don't let it go. That good heart is described as something that is pure. You're not holding on for something else. You're holding on for that life itself. You're not holding on for what God can get you later on in fame, power, wealth. You are holding on for God himself, that life itself that he gives you. So continue on in this parable of growth. The seed is sown. The seed sprouts up in this soil that's holding it. And lastly, the seed bears fruit. So the good life results or bears good fruit. God's work needs to be waited for. You need to wait for God's work to happen. It's a reaction, a consequence, a reactive consequence of what's happening, of the seed of life being planted, soil holding on to it, and that soil quality being good, honest, upright, excellent, and true. And then the life that comes out of it blesses many other lives. So the gospel bearing fruit here. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read another passage. And this is the writer Paul expressing to the Colossian church what this type of life looks like, the gospel bearing fruit life. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world. It is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, has made known to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. So we see this bearing fruit, this fruit that grows out of other people's lives and continues the seed sowing process. Seeds bear more seeds. Fruit, out of the fruit of good comes the seeds of the gospel. And continuing in chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we see this picture of fruit, bearing fruit again. Bearing fruit not only on the global scale, like the gospel's going from city to city, house to house, but it's bearing fruit on the personal scale. Your life as a Christian, grounded in God, and his life bears fruit in every good work that you do. And in doing so, you also increase in the knowledge of God. You get to see what he's doing in the world around you and being part of it, and get to know God even more because of it. And lastly, in Colossians here, Paul shares with the church a prayer that this type of bearing fruit needs to continue. It doesn't happen like a dandelion grows and pops up in the middle of my farm every single day. They're all over the place. They grow up overnight, it seems. But it's this type of fruit requires patience and endurance. In Colossians 1, 11 through 12, it says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So this good life that we see growing from the good seed, nurtured in a good soil, bears good fruit, and it must be waited upon. You have to wait for the fruit to come with endurance and patience with joy. So we see here the description of a good life. A good life is given freely by God to those who receive his words and sincerely follow after them. And this is a life that bears good fruit. You think back to the parable on the other soils. What was the difference among all these pictures? Well, the difference was not the seed. The seed was the same, but the difference was the soil that it was grown in. You can look back to the soil that was labeled thorny. This is a description of a torn life, a life that happens when many cares, riches, and pleasures distract from following the words of God completely. You may respond to the gospel of Christ. Your life begins to change and you grow in Christ, but you get so tangled up in everything else in this world, you cannot bear that good fruit. You think back to the other soil, the soil that is rocky, that is thin, that the rocky soil does not hold onto moisture. Water is often pictured as a metaphor for the Word of God. And you see that picture of that soil that cannot hold water is a dry life, a life that does not hold on to the words of God. That results into a life that is withering, a dry life. You do not hold on to the Word of God in your hearts in this type of picture, but you respond to it, grow up quickly, and then just wither away because there's no deepness to your relationship with Christ. And lastly, firstly in the parable is the parable's picture of a barren life. That life that all of us have experienced, a life without Christ, a life without the words of life, a life without the gospel. And this is the state of every man, woman, and child. Without Christ, they are barren, cannot produce life of their own. They want to hear the word of God, have that relationship with their Creator, yet the words of life do not reach their hearts because they are taken away. They are scattered but plucked by our enemy, and they do not reach the heart. So let's look at the results of a comparison of a barren life versus the good life. And I will go to Galatians chapter 5, 9 through 24 here. And as an analytical person, I've always loved lists in the Bible, a comparison between this and that. And this list here compares the works of the flesh, or that result of a barren life without the life of God, and then the fruit of the Spirit, that life that comes from the good seed. So it says in Galatians 5, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." You see, those without the gospel seed in their hearts can only experience death and the acts of the flesh there that are described. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God because they do not know God and have a relationship with Him. But those who've responded in faith to words of life, they are able to grow in their relationship with God and bear fruit. Fruit that is not physical, but fruit that is spiritual and affects all other relationships in their life, as we see here in the fruit of the Spirit. So considering the good life today, I'd like you to look at your own hearts. Don't think about anybody else's heart, as we can easily apply these parables to someone else, but their true intention was Jesus preaching to his disciples. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, He will speak to you through these parables. He is the key to unlock the good life. And we see that the good life begins with the Word of God. You need to hear and follow it. Know that Jesus Christ, as presented in the gospel, the good news is that we are sinners, but Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. He died for our sins and allows us to have new life. A good life flourishes in an honest and good heart. We need to weed out that which is bad and evil and hold on to that which is good. Be pure and honest before God. Don't let that little weed creep in and choke your good life out. You need to hold on to God's word in everything that happens. Whether you're a mother at home, or someone working at the post office, or a farmer in the field, or a pastor preaching on Sunday, you need to hold on to the Word of God in every part of your life. And you also have the opportunity to bear good fruit. Just need to wait for it. Hold on to God's Word. Live it out and watch how it affects the lives of those around you. Just wait for it. And I'll close with the same prayer that Paul gave to the Colossian church for you all. A prayer for strength to hold on. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you.